Harry, Congressman Tim Walberg is he's stuck in Washington. Come, you're still there, Tim.
Well, we have a session yet this morning.
Okay.
Take a couple votes. So since I was elected to serve the 7th District in Washington when we're needed here, that's why I'm here.
That's probably a good reason.
Yeah, I don't want people to wonder where I'm at when the Congress is in session. They ought to know that their representative is here. And when we're not in session, I'll be back in the district and looking forward to it. And we ought to be hopping on a plane about 1 o'clock this afternoon to head home.
You may have to take a boat back here.
That's what I understand. I left after having those storms on Sunday night, and of course, it's great to see the agriculture got their planting in. The weather held well, and now the crops are going. But we certainly hope that things don't get washed out and drowned as well. But you can't control the weather, and if we did, yeah, we wouldn't do it as well.
Yeah, I was surprised. In fact, we had a story this morning and really how bad the cherry crop has been affected here this spring.
Yeah, I think we had a cold spring, and all of that stuff has impact on our fruit production. It's amazing that we can even plan with the weather the way it is at times. But in the end, as farmers have told me, we have good years, we have bad years. It all kind of averages out in the end. It's tough when you're going through a tough time. But I'm glad we have the agriculture community is willing to step up to the plate still. And they generally love what they're doing and do the best job in the entire world. And we're the beneficiaries of it as well as others. So we wish them well, but the rains will come, and then maybe later on this summer we'll be complaining about a drought.
Probably, yeah. You got any good news for us?
Well, I think the good news is that America is waking up. Some people that have been generally considered the silent majority are starting to really make some noise about perceptions that are being moved forward with radical thought for this country, such as the critical race theory, 1619 Project, both of which are lies. And I guess, Greg, I would say that I'm not a boycotter type guy. I think we ought to be willing to debate issues. And just because an entity or an individual or a group has a different opinion doesn't mean that I should withdraw myself from them. But what we're seeing now going on with critical race theory pushed in the military, General Milley this last week, I think, made an unbelievably stupid, ignorant statement about the needs in our military for spending time training them in inclusion and critical race theory and the like. That's not the purpose of the military, and we haven't seen significant challenges there. But in our schools, I had in front of me yesterday in the Education Labor Committee, Secretary Cardonas of Secretary of Education. And I pushed him on the issue that he was potentially doing some illegal things in signaling, and those were his words in an interview that he did, so I wasn't making them up, signaling that the 1619 Project and critical race theory was curriculum that would meet the desires of the department for grant funding. Well, you can have those ideas, but you cannot, according to three specific statutes, cannot pay, I guess I'd use that term, pay school districts to teach any curriculum, let alone something that says that America is bad, America was founded on bad intentions, America was founded on slavery, and Revolutionary War was fought to continue slavery, and that if you're anything but white, you are stuck in your class the rest of your life. And that's not American. America is the only country in the world where historically you can go in a single generation from poverty to at least middle class and beyond. And that's what we want African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, all minorities in this country to understand, along with majorities, understand that you can achieve in the United States. You are not stuck in your class, in your setting. And I'm thankful that that, as the product of an immigrant set of grandparents, that I wasn't stuck in the place where my grandmother was as a domestic, I guess you could almost say a domestic housekeeper for the rest of her family's life. But my dad had his opportunities to move in the middle class, and I've had my opportunity to be a member of Congress, which is unbelievable. And I think, as I've looked at others, they have that same situation regardless of race, creed, or national origin. And we want to keep America that way and not downplay in a false way what's going on. So those are the issues here. But you said, what's good? I think people are waking up and they're starting to speak up and they're starting to say, wait a second. We love America. We're not perfect. We're still perfecting our union. We're still learning. We're still changing. And our whole history shows that. And we are not going to set back now and accept a small group of cultural change makers who are going to try to hitchhike or overtake the tradition of America and make people feel that America is a bad country, because it isn't.
Who's trying to overtake, Tim?
Well, I think those that are promoting the 1619 Project and critical race theory, they are in a small minority, and it happens in our colleges and universities, graves of academia, sometimes I like to call them. And then you're seeing it at the Department of Education, trying to portray that that we need to move people forward, educating them on things that they haven't been educated in the past. And I think we always ought to make sure we expand our opportunities for people to know full history and all of the other subjects, but let's not make it up. And the 16th and 19th Project has been discredited and debunked and proved that it's not true. I mean, do your listeners think that the Revolutionary War was fought to protect slavery and to propagate slavery in the United States? I mean, you might say the Civil War was certainly fought to defeat slavery or to protect slavery, whether you were South or North, but you can't say that about the Revolutionary War. And the founding of America took place in 1619, when the first slave ships started to come over here. Oh, no, by the way, more slave ships were going to other countries in the world than the United States. But it's a blot that we've tried to fix and repair over the course of time, and let's not go backwards there. And so I think that's what concerns me. And in my questioning of the education secretary yesterday, I tried to take him on and say, you can't signal, it's illegal for Department of Education to give grants based upon curriculum that schools put in place. And I would say that for even if you're going to put in a totally biblical curriculum in a public school and mandate that if you're going to get grants from the federal government. Again, that's why I think the Department of Education should never have been implemented. We did just fine before we had a U.S. Department of Education. And it's impossible for a federal agency like that to know what's best for Jackson school districts, let alone to know what's best for all of the thousands of other school districts across the country. That's responsibility of our state, our state board of education, our state legislature, and most importantly, our local school districts with the school boards and the parents and the teachers that are there. So when you have a secretary of education who indicates that he is signaling that the 1619 Project and critical race theory is good curriculum, that's wrong and he ought to be called out. And that's what I called him out yesterday, and it came from hearing from constituents all across my district that are concerned that this isn't the type of education that they want for the kids, because they want time spent on reading, writing, arithmetic, true history, full history, but don't make it up as you go.
The infrastructure package, are you on board with that?
I'm on board with infrastructure and the haven't seen the full package that's being offered on the true infrastructure side over in the Senate, infrastructure being roads, bridges, broadband, ports, marine ports, and airports, those type of things. That's infrastructure, pipelines. I certainly could support moving forward in that area. The level of spending is the question. In the House here, we offered a $460 billion infrastructure bill, and it's paid for, totally paid for, using remaining coronavirus relief dollars and normal transportation fund dollars, and setting priorities. We won't build everything, but we will build out an awful lot with $460 billion, and it will be paid for, won't add to the deficit. What the Senate has agreed to is upwards of $700 billion, as I've seen so far. And then the President and the Democrats are saying we will not pass that unless you also pass another package which does what we want to do in climate, Green New Deal, child care, et cetera, all sorts of social, cultural policies. That's not infrastructure. It shouldn't be part of the package. I cannot support that. So if they're going to tie those two bills together, then there's no possibility that I will end up being able to support it. If we're just going to do infrastructure, then let's negotiate somewhere between the $700 billion or so and the $460 billion that we've talked of in the House. Keep it the true infrastructure, roads, bridges, pipelines, broadband, et cetera, and I think we can come to a conclusion. But Nancy Pelosi will have to decide, and Joe Biden will have to decide in his leadership whether he's willing to say, listen, I will not support anything that's not infrastructure. We'll negotiate on that. We'll come to a compromise. But I can see the writing on the wall that in the makeup of the legislature right now, I don't have the votes to get that fuller package out. And so let's get done what we can get done.